The book of Daniel, please, chapter 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which speak in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Verse 18, please. Verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give skill and understanding at the beginning of thy supplications. And the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, unto the end of war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Read in the book of Revelation, please, chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, please. Revelation chapter 11, please, in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city. They shall tread under foot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Chapter 12, please, and verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 2,260 days. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Chapter 13 and verse 5, please. Chapter 13 and verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Yeah. Now we're looking today at chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. We have it here on the chart. This part of the chart here. Remember the times of the Gentiles. There it is. And the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, if you get a little drip of what the 70 weeks of Daniel are all about, you'll have a very good idea of what the New Testament prophecies are about. And if you miss it on the 70 weeks, of course that is the key to New Testament prophecy. Therefore, it's important that we know something about the 70 weeks of Daniel that we have in Daniel chapter 9. Now remember, what we have here in this chapter is nothing to do with the Gentiles. Nothing to do with the Gentiles. They have everything to do with the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. Now, here in the outset of this chapter, Daniel mentions here, I understood by books the number of years whereof the Lord, the word of the Lord, came to Jeremiah the prophet, that there would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He understood by books, no doubt studying the books that were written in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, and so on. Very important to study the prophetic books, the books of the Bible. Sometimes we might neglect prophetic scriptures, but they're very important. Actually, a good portion of our Bible are prophetic scriptures. And it's an interesting study for us to go into, and yet probably we rather choose to neglect looking into prophecy. But Daniel looked into it, no doubt, as we would see from this verse. And he said, from this, I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek for prayer and supplications, fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You can see that it moved him in a great exercise before his God to know what the mind of God might be for the nation of Israel in the time to come. And so he made it a matter of prayer. Now this chapter here is mostly taken up with the prayer of Daniel. Daniel's prayer. A very spiritual man that he was. A man of prayer. And then notice the language that he uses is very searching. He speaks of the sins of the nation of Israel just as though he had committed them all himself. And really for his adult life, he wasn't even in Jerusalem. Why, he left there as a teenager and he's away over at Babylon and Persia. And yet he's speaking about the desolation back home because of the sins of his own people. He speaks and he uses a variety of different words in expressing the variety of sin that was committed by his own people. He mentions a sin that would be a missing of the mark, or a coming short, or a crossing of a boundary, or a word that would mean that they have rebelled against thee, O God. Or have they perverted that which is right? The variety of sins that are mentioned throughout the Word of God, or sin, Daniel seems to take them all up and use them as that's what the nation of Israel committed in their wickedness and unbelief against God, where they turned aside from the Bible and turned to idolatry, and so the desolations came in upon them. Now, you might say in the first part of this chapter, Daniel is reviewing in his prayer here the last 490 years. And you know, in the last part of the book, the last part of the book is 490 years in the future. That's 70 years, or the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, Gabriel comes here in verse 21, caused the price of the impetuity, and he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come, afford to give thee skill in understanding. For at the beginning of my supplications and commandments came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Daniel is called by this angel a greatly beloved, a man that's greatly beloved, a man that knew God and was very, very near unto God, a beloved man. And so he's spoken of here, understand the matter and consider the vision. Very solemn what it is here. Now these 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now we must know what the weeks are to help us to get this down here tonight. 70 weeks. Now 70 weeks, the word week here is really not the exact translation of what the original word might be. It might be very hard to get the exact translation of the word. But actually, if you put down 70 times 7, so it's 70 times 7 instead of 70 weeks, because that weeks represents 7, just like a week represents 7 days. When you speak of a week, you're speaking of 7 days. This is like when you talk about 12 eggs. What do you say? Well, just give me a dozen. Simplify it, give me a dozen. Every dozen you ask for speaks of 12. Every time it's a week, it speaks of 7. And so you have here 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, that's 490. Now that's 490. And that speaks of 490 years. 490 years. This 70-week period covers 490 years. Now, there's a reason for that. Because in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, God sets out for the people of Israel that they could sow the land and work the land. But on the seventh year, they would let the land lie, have a rest. Give the land a Sabbath, a rest. Farm your land, sow your seed, take in your harvest, but every seventh year, you don't do that. You just let the land lie. Rest. Back on the prairies, they call it summer fowl. Summer fowl that land. I had no idea what they're talking about. Not to go farming at all, because I'm from Ontario, Ontario.
But when they talk about farming and all the rest, I didn't have a clue. When they talk about summer fall, I didn't know what they're talking about. But now I know. He's let the land rest. But you know, even back there in the prairies, they have so many chemicals, so many fertilizers and so on. They're trying to get around that, letting the land rest for that year. Why? The land is too valuable to let it sit idle. He's been working all the time, producing. That's what the children of Israel did. The children of Israel, they got the word from God what to do about the land. Sow it for 6 years, let it rest. But you know what? People in those days are the same as they are today. There was greed in the heart of the people of Israel. And they saw, well, look, that would be a waste to let the land lie rest. This land has to be worked. And so in their greed for more and more, they wouldn't let the land rest. And they went ahead and sowed the land, took the harvest up year after year after year without giving it its rest. So, you've done that for all these years, 490 years, you never gave rest to the land. Alright, God says in your disobedience, you're going to have a period of time, 490 years, you'll be brought in, and you'll have no rest for that period of time as well. 490 years of unrest. 70 times 7, period of unrest in the state of Israel. And they're going to be brought into great trials and testings during those difficult years to come. Now, 490. You take over there in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 24. Now if the king should be sevenfold, then truly Lamech should be 70 times 7. There you have that number again. 70 times 7, 490 times. Over in the New Testament, you get it again in Matthew chapter 18. Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "How often shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, the Lord Jesus Christ said, till 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now you see, that figure is used 70 times 7, 490 years. That figure is used in God bringing discipline upon the nation of Israel. But over in the New Testament, God expects that that same figure will be used in the day of grace in showing tender mercy towards your brother. Now we want to remember that because, you know, we might just stray a bit and be very difficult and tend to be hard and legal towards dealing with our brother about a matter, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "No, you be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." But you say, how often? How often? 490 times. In other words, you don't put any limit. When you put a limit on how often you're going to forgive your brother, then you cease to be Christ-like. So remember that in your dealings, one with another, be gracious, show favor towards them. And so you have that period of 490 years. Now that 490 years, it begins up here. Notice that. It doesn't begin away up there in the Golden Head, up there in Babylon. That's not when the 490 years began. Now, why do we say it started here? Well, you know, men that have, William Post, Robert Anderson, and others that have really searched this out, and they searched out the years and the calendars, and they've got it right down precisely to the day. And this is the period of time right here, in the time of the Medes and the Persians. What does it say there in Daniel? At the time of the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, that's the beginning of the 70 years. That's the beginning. 70 years. And you see, up to this time here, like the 70 years, why, the children of Israel are in captivity. And now this Persian king, reading. You know, you read in Nehemiah chapter 2, you can read Esther and Ezra and a few other chapters about this, and you'll see that the king gave the commandment. All right? Take what you need and go back to your land. Go ahead and start rebuilding the walls and rebuilding Jerusalem. The king gave the commandment. And at that giving of that commandment, going forth that commandment, that's the beginning of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, you know, there might have been 50,000 people that went back when they put up out of captivity. They left Babylon and went back to start building the walls of Jerusalem again. Now, you know, they were well settled in Babylon, the Jews, by this time. All that time, the 70 years, why, who's going to uproot their family and go back? Why, they got settled in this land all settled about. But you know what? There was quite a few that did. They just uprooted themselves, and they went back home to their native land to start to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem again and to rebuild that city. That's the outset of the 70 weeks of Daniel that are spoken of here. Now you know, those men that went back and those families that went back, they didn't have an easy time. They had a very difficult time all during those years of building the walls of Jerusalem. Why, they had the trowel, as it were, they worked away with the trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. And you just need to read some of the books of Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, in relation to what they went through in those difficult years to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem once again. And so they did. That's where they went. They went back there and started to construct those walls. Now in these 70 weeks, it's divided into three sections here. You have a section here of 7 weeks, or seven times seven, 49 years. Then you have another period here of 62 weeks, or 62 times seven. Then you have a final week down here, the last week. Now, you need to understand as to why the division. Why is this broken up into three sections? Well, first of all, the first section is 7 weeks. 7 weeks. That is seven times seven. Or 49 years. 49 years the walls were in building. That's what it took to construct the walls. 49 years. So that gives you your first section there of the, on the going forth, the commandment, 49 years in the construction of those walls. And then following that, there'll be 3 score and 2 weeks. 3 score and 2 weeks, that's 62, or 62 times 7, 434 years. Add them together, and it's 483 years. 483 years we have here. And that brings you down to the 69th week. Now we have here, then, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And that word, determined, is an important word. Because it doesn't just, it's not just like that word determined. That word determined means something that's cut out. Or cut out on. And so these 70 weeks, or 490 years, is a period of time that's cut out of all the other years that there was. Take and cut out this little portion. 490 years. Cut that out. Well, that is a part that's determined. And so 70 weeks are determined for that which is cut out. A specific period of time marked out for some specific purpose. Upon thy people and upon the holy city. Upon thy people and upon the holy city. So remember then, This is not the Greeks. This is not the Medes and the Persians. This is the Jewish people. Upon thy people and upon thy holy city is for God's dealing with the nation of Israel, thy people in the holy city. To finish the transgression, there are six things in this verse that are to be accomplished. And their first one is to finish the transgression. The transgression, I believe, it speaks of tribulation. It's going to be brought upon these people during that period of time of tribulation, transgression, and to make an end of sins. To make an end of sins. You know that it's going to teach the tribulation so that there's punishment coming in for the sins that you've committed. You've rebelled against God in your disobedience and your wickedness. You've taken up with idolatry and you've lived in sin. It's all marked out. Daniel spoke about that. All right. To make an end of sins. And the judgment is going to fall. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Well, reconciliation really is not an Old Testament word. Actually, the word would better be put atonement. Make atonement for iniquity. Atonement. Now that is found during this period as well in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon Golgotha's tree. The Lord Jesus Christ bearing the sin of many upon the cross of Calvary. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. To bring in everlasting righteousness. And that has never taken place as yet. But that looks forward to a day in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ when everlasting righteousness will be brought in. Everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy. The book of Daniel is a book that's sealed. The book of Revelation is known as the unsealed book. The prophetic scripture of Daniel will be sealed up, this prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's going to take place in this period of time as well. Understand, the tabernacle was anointed. Solomon's temple or Zerubbabel's temple, they weren't anointed. But there's going to be a day when the temple will be built. And then it will be anointed. And that's what I believe is referred to here, to anoint the most holy. Verse 25. Therefore then, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 84 and 2 weeks, and the street shall be built and the wall in troublous times. So Daniel, this is grouped together for Daniel, 7 weeks, and then 84 and 2 weeks, until Messiah the Prince. Now, what time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ did you think of that he would ever be recognized as Messiah the Prince? You know that these men that I mentioned, and they're looking over the time period and space, they've got it right down to the day, the exact day, to show that scripture is being fulfilled, prophetic scripture is being fulfilled exactly on time. Now, until I restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. Now, when would that be? You know, that was the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. And they threw the palm branches down before him and recognized him as Messiah the Prince. And that day is just right there, and exactly that particular day. And at no other time could it ever possibly been said of him or recognized him as being the Prince, Messiah the Prince. Shall be 7 weeks. And you see, when you go over this verse, you'll see why it's a sealed to the Jewish people. because they have never accepted the fact that the Messiah has yet come. They're still looking forward to a future day when the Messiah will come. And here we have reference to the Messiah in this verse, and it's called Messiah that shall come. In 7 weeks, or 49 years, 62 weeks, that's the six, that brings it down to 69 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the walls in troublous times. That takes in the first 49 years. Right, then what happens after the 69th week? How do we know when the 69th week is finished? After 62 weeks, Messiah the Prince shall be cut off, but not for himself. After 62 weeks, the Messiah the Prince shall be cut off. And that takes you down to the 69th week over here. There you have that's the cross there. AD 32 AD. See, the Messiah the Prince was cut off, but not for himself. And that being cut off is being put to death. Now it's a very violent type of death. The word that's used there is a violent type of death that could only be brought about by an act of God or by a vicious, angry man that might bring a death upon a person. And that's the idea behind the word that is used for being cut off. There, Messiah the Prince shall be cut off. Well, we know very well that the Lord Jesus Christ died at the hands of violent men. He was put to death by wicked men. Peter said, "You've taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Why they hated the Lord Jesus Christ without a cause, and in bitter hatred they took him out and slew him and hung him upon a tree in their animosity and hatred toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But you know, in all the hatred the man had towards his Son, and putting to death the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord's hand was on his will to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into death. He was cut off. Messiah the Prince shall be cut off. A violent death took place in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not for himself. But not for himself. That is, he was cut off, but not for himself. Or he was cut off without anything. He had absolutely nothing. But he was not cut off for himself. You know, the death of Christ was for the world. For the world. Christ died for a people that are in the world. Christ died for the ungodly. For God commanded his love toward us. In the world we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember Christ's death upon the cross? He was being cut off, but not for himself. Why, he wanted to redeem sinful man from his sin and take us home to heaven. Now you see, that 69th week is here. Now this is like a time clock that's going on. And it runs its course to here. But then it stops. It stops. And Daniel never saw this period of time here. He never saw this. But the clock has stopped. And you know, the 70th week has never come yet. Those 69 weeks have come and gone. And you can say that you know very well about it. The birth of Christ, recognition of Prince, the death of Christ. But what about the 70th week that has never come yet? Now the 70th week here of Daniel, we have it here in our portion. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of war, desolations are determined. The people of the princes shall come, shall destroy the city. Why, we believe that this took place 70 years after the death of Christ. Remember how that the Lord Jesus Christ said, now, when he said, oh, look at the big buildings, and so on. Why, they're massive. He said, there shall not be left one stone upon another. And so, under Titus the Roman prince, why, the whole place was left desolate. The buildings came down. But you know, it wasn't actually Titus that did it. He was the prince of Rome at that time. But he didn't carry out the slaughter or the destruction. Well, he had all his men about there ready to go. And he sent a message to them. Now he said, don't proceed. We don't want this to go ahead. Stop right now. There'll be no slaughter and no destruction. But you know, the people, they wouldn't listen to the Titus. They disregarded the note, the information. And they went ahead in their willful ways and destroyed the city, and destruction was carried out. That's why I notice the accuracy again of the prophecy. The people of the prince, it's the people of the prince, not the prince himself, for he wanted nothing to do with it. But the people of the prince, they carried out the slaughter and destroyed the city and the sanctuary. And the end are all but a flood. And the end shall be war, desolation, are determined. Now, from there on, you can look at the last part of verse 26 and 27, and you'll notice this takes us down to this period of time here, I believe. It starts in here, of this 70th week. What happens here now? He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week, remember that week speaks of years. 1 week or 7 years. A period of 7 years. This one over here, the Antichrist, here, he makes an agreement, a covenant, for 1 week with the nation of Israel. Why, the Roman Federated States of Europe, Israel. I'll line up as a league with Israel to protect it. And, alright, make a covenant then, allow them to have their worship, fine dandy, and the covenant is set for a 7 year period. Now you know this could take place very, very soon. It won't be 10 years, or 9 years, or 12 years. You'll notice it's a period of 7 years. A covenant is made. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, it's called a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. That's the way the Word of God looks at that covenant with death and agreement with hell. Well, you know, fine. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17, I made reference to it. And you see now all religion. Why, they just seem as though they're in control. You know, that's the way a leader sometimes likes to do it. Is give the people what they want at first, as a bait, and so the harlot is riding the beast as though she had complete control. But in the middle of the week, why, the ruler hates the harlot and destroys her, burns her, and confiscates the wealth. And the whole thing comes to an end in the middle of the week. Now I read a number of portions there in Revelation that mentioned the 3.5 years, or 1260 days, or 42 months, is all the same period of time. Now remember, that's half the week. Now when you read the book of Revelation from chapter 4 down to chapter 19, you have a pretty good idea about this seven year period. And if you want to take a shortcut, a little explanation, a shortcut, read Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Matthew, read from verse 4 to 14. And there you've got the first 3.5 years. Then when you get to verse 15 to 19, you've got the middle of the week. The middle of that period, where the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of the abomination of desolation set up by Daniel the prophet. Now he refers to that as the middle of the week, or the middle of that 7-year period. And then the last part of that 24th of Matthew, you'll find it's the last 3.5 years. And that's known as the period of the Great Tribulation. And you can take it from the book of Revelation as well, chapter 4 to chapter 11, the first 3.5 years. And then you have the middle of the week, chapter 12. Then you've got the last half of the week, 3.5 years, chapter 13 to 19. And you know, during that period of time, you know, the trial judgment, the trumpet judgments, and the vile judgments are carried out and brought out upon the earth on that last 3.5 years, a terrible time of judgment yet to come. And so you have that. Here we have the covenant with men for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Why, he just removes religion from the people altogether, except introducing the idea of the mark of the beast. Remember, under 666, the mark of the beast, taking the number of the beast in the right hand, or on the forehead, idolatry, introduced, worship me. And that's like just turning over your allegiance and your worship of the devil in this beast. And so we have that. They're taking away what they thought they were getting, their own religion, and they caused that to cease. And the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate, or the desolator himself. Now, you can see that there's often a little bit of repeating here in the book of Daniel concerning this great subject of the last 7 years, and also the ruler in that last 7 years, the Antichrist himself. Now I know there are differences of opinion when it comes to prophecy and some of these things, but you can see very well what we spoke about tonight. In these 490 years, really, you can't go very far wrong. If you just take it simply of 7 years, 7 times 7. Now when you come down here to this 3.5 years, that 3.5 years, you know, that's not something new. That's like the 70 times 70. We've had this before in our Bibles, in the day of Elijah. Why, it rained up for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and it did rain. Why, there was a time there in the life of Elijah why judgment must come in upon this sea. And so for 3.5 years, why, there was no rain upon the earth. Finally, he set up an altar. And there was rain to be thanks unto God. But you know, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went out into public ministry. And for 3.5 years, he was out there ministering to the people, proclaiming the gospel wherever he went, and showed the kindness of God and compassion of God to the people. For 3.5 years, it was a ministry of grace to the people. In Elijah's day, you might say, it was a ministry of judgment for 3.5 years. Now in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, a ministry of grace, favor towards the people. Well, you know, in the tribulation period, that 7-year period, the last 7 of the 70 weeks, it will be both a period of judgment during the tribulation. It will also be a period of grace to some. Now it will be a period of judgment, for God is going to bring out judgment upon the nation of Israel, and it's going to be very, very severe. Do you know that only a third of the nation will survive that terrible time of judgment? One third? Terrible time. It'll be just swept away in under the judging hand of God in that day. But you know, it'll also be a period when there will be those that will be saved during that terrible time of judgment. Well, we read about the two witnesses. Why, they're the faithful ones that will go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom during those days. And they will believe, and they'll refuse to take the mark of the beast. Some will be beheaded for their faith and rejection of the idolatrous worship, which is an abomination to God. And you know, there's going to be a faithful remnant that will be saved during that tribulation period. And you have that in Revelation chapter 7, and again in Revelation chapter 14, a representative number of the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe that will be saved during that terrible time of tribulation period. You can hardly enter into it. When you think of the slaughter that's going to take place in that actually, really, a very short period of time. You know, it's shocking when you think of it. But you know, as you go through those solemn scriptures in the book of Revelation, remember, Daniel the prophet spoke of that time that was going to come in a future day, the 70th week. That ends the times of the Gentiles. And it's going to end. The times of the Gentiles will end. Over here you have the feet of iron and clay. Now that iron and clay doesn't mix. The iron would speak of, the democracy. And the clay would speak of socialism. We have that today in our society. A government trying to rule with democracy in one hand and socialism in the other hand. And it's not holding together. And that's what you have there. But you know that stone cut out without hands is going to come and touch the feet and put an end to this Gentile rule. That'll bring in the close of the 70th week. And that's the end of the desolator here in the last verse. Now his end is going to come in Revelation chapter 19 when the beast and the false prophet are taken and cast alive into the lake of fire and the devil is bound for 1,000 years, and later he is cast in to the lake of fire. Now you can see that this book of Daniel has to do with judgment. Remember his name? It means God is my judge. And God is the judge of the earth. You know what you think of the disobedience of the children of Israel to the word of God, turning to idolatry, hunting after another. Is there anything that can you see in the life of the nation of Israel that might be repeated in some way in the church today? Is there such a thing in the church today as a spirit of rebellion? Is there anything in the church today of a spirit of covetousness, which is idolatry? There's always that danger of the sins of the past will creep right up to the present day in which we're living. And no doubt, over here, the church of Laodicea. Why, that church is far different than what you have in Ephesus, a picture of a church of love, or even the Philadelphia church. What? In the last church there, lukewarm. Neither cold nor hot. I tell you, friends, in Revelation chapter 3 and 20, is the Lord Jesus Christ not standing outside and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. It may be at the close of this dispensation that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to entreat the individual and desire to enter in. And you know, you and I could if we just dare to be a Daniel, and dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose too, and dare to make it known. You know, I may not be able to band again others with me to support a cause, but you know, I could just be a man like Daniel maybe. Or you could be someone like Daniel that just went to God alone in the privacy of your room, as a man of prayer, or a woman of prayer, or a man of the Bible, or a woman of the book, and go on and live for the honor and glory of God. And you know, you can affect the whole church by your diligence and your holiness of life and your desire to please God. Remember, time is swiftly by, and death and judgment draw nigh. In view of the shortness of the time and the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, what manner of men ought we to be in these last and closing days? Oh, I tell you, from reading tonight, if there was somebody with us tonight and you're not yet saved, know we press upon you tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto me, and I will abundantly pardon. Our God stands ready, and the Lord Jesus Christ is ready. And he says, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My friends, in the meeting today, we sang that hymn, Jesus, Lord of thy blessed ways. Really, let's search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Do we really want to be taught the ways to be in Christ to such an extent that I will change my way? I will change my disposition about things and make it so that I will be a man that will live my life well pleasing to God. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy just to go on with the careless crowd in a spirit of indifference, a lukewarm condition, neither cold nor hot. What we need amongst the few that are left is a diligence, an earnestness after the things of God in view of the Lord Jesus Christ who soon returns. How may God bless his hearts. Our hearts tonight, and thank you for this scripture we read together tonight, and handle just simply before you of a period of time that is fast coming to a close. Now let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we give thanks unto thee for our time together. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. The solemn things that Daniel had to have been revealed to Daniel about a day of judgment is going to fall upon the nation of Israel in these last and closing days. How severe when we look into the Word of God and see those judgments of the Book of Revelation and the dealings. O gracious God, we ask that thou pardon us thy blessing and take us to our homes in safety. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks unto thee. Amen. Number 307, page 465. 465. Now remember, the church will not be here during this tribulation period. Church will be gone. In Revelation chapter 12, I read there, the dragon goes after the woman. You see, the devil goes after the woman. Now the woman there is Israel. Israel. Now if the church had been here during that last 3.5 years, he would go after the church, where the church is God's masterpiece, but the church has already gone home to heaven, so he goes after the woman, which speaks of Israel, the nation of Israel. There we have it in Revelation chapter 12. Now we have here 465, now to him that loved us, and gave us every pledge that love could give. 465.